There's a church in the valley by the wildwood, no lovelier place in the dale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the dale. Church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the dale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the dale.
Hello, welcome to a Six String Hayride podcast. A journey through the world of classic country music with your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. We will be covering all of the great topics in country music, from mama to prison, to dancing, to drinking, to guitar picking, to all the crazy deal with the devil, honky-tonking stuff you do on Saturday night, and how you try to get it past your Lord on Sunday morning. So climb aboard the cart and let's go. Friends and fellow music lovers, welcome to the Six String Hayride Classic Country and Beyond podcast with your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley.
Me and the Lord, we got an understanding.
We're on a mission from God.
Today we are going to be talking about gospel music. It is getting to be late November here in the United States. The active farming season and growing season is over. It's harvest time. We're moving into the cold winter months. So culturally, there is a basis for recognizing the end of the growing season and the beginning of winter with a variety of different cultural approaches. The most common one is the idea of Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving holiday is celebrated either in October or November, depending on where you live. Canada, the United States, Germany, Liberia, and Brazil are all countries that celebrate some form of Thanksgiving holiday in either October or November. Giving thanks and praises. Musically, the idea of giving thanks can be directly attached to what we call gospel music.
Gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the river. down by the riverside. Study, want no more. Well, ain't gonna study one more. Oh, study one more. Ain't gonna study, want no more.
Now, here at the Hayride, we don't particularly care what religion you are or are not. None of our business. But in the interest of peace, love, brotherhood, sisterhood, and all that good stuff in life.
All you need is love.
We should note that the five major religions in the world all have music as part of their celebration.
Ships. Minute after they took us from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly.
Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs,
redemption songs, redemption songs. Redemption song, redemption song.
These songs of freedom, 'cause all I ever had. Redemption song, all I ever had. Redemption song.
The Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Jewish people, and the Christians all have music as a large part of their religious and spiritual celebration. Gospel music is one of the forms of music that existed long before what we now know as traditional country music. Long before blues music, rock and roll, jazz, any of the popular current music formats, gospel goes way, way back. Historians have traced the early roots of what we now call gospel music to two sources. African folk music gives us that tradition of call and response that is one of the more popular structures for music in the South and in Black church music. One of the other early sources is 17th century Scotland. Harmony singing, religious singing in Scotland in the 1600s is the other main source for what we now regard as gospel music.
Praise ye the Lord.
Might be fine, his greatness and his glory.
So we have this unlikely combination of African folk music with a call and response style. And we have Scottish harmony singing church music from the 1600s. Historians tend to agree that those are the two foundation type elements in what is now considered to be gospel music. Here in the United States, the first published use of the term gospel music appears in the 1870s. This is before the recording industry and the radio industry are part of the musical landscape. The beginning of the radio era in the late 1920s really increases the exposure and the popularity of gospel music, and it begins to move out of churches and religious context and starts to become a big part of popular culture. Gospel music goes on to be a huge influence in country music.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
And even in rock and roll.
People get ready, there's a train joining. Picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's room for all of the loved and the most. Yes, there is.
One of the most prolific and certainly one of the pioneers in early gospel music composition is a fellow named Albert Brumley. Influenced by the 1924 composition, The Prisoner Song, in 1929, Albert Brumley gives us one of the great classics and certainly one of the most performed and one of the most recorded gospel songs ever, I'll Fly Away. 1929 by Albert Brumley. The publishing date is 1932. It is one of the most commonly performed and recorded gospel songs ever. We can listen to a bit of it now from people like Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, George Jones, Ralph Stanley, the New Orleans Brass Band, the Pilgrim Gospel Choir, and Alison Krauss.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away.
you by and by. I'll fly away.
When the shadows of this life have gone,
I'll fly away.
Like a bird from prison bars have flown,
I'll fly away.
Sundays, I would just listen to bluegrass music for the first few hours of the day. It was literally like a little tradition I created for myself called Bluegrass Sunday. And I, when I would listen to a lot of things by the Stanley Brothers, you know, that's where I first started listening to a song like I'll Fly Away. And there's just something so captivating about the song. Like, you just feel compelled to clap your hands and stomp your feet. And then, of course, as I continued with my musical education and just started listening to more and more things, and especially as you and I became better friends and I started listening to a lot of shows that you had taped, I started getting more exposed to things like various different bands playing I'll Fly Away, whether it was, you know, Johnny Cash playing it or whatever. I would hear these different recordings, and a lot of this is stuff you wouldn't hear if you only listened to official releases. So I feel in a big way, like the only reason I was able to catch up as an adult, what I'm kind of missed out on as a kid, is just this vast exposure to live recordings. And of course, we've talked about this on the show before. Bluegrass musicians in particular, you know, they were early adopters of tape culture. You know, the bluegrass musicians figured that, hey, you know, so-and-so might not have been able to make it here tonight, but once he hears what he's missed, boy, he's going to be here next week. That's for sure. And that culture, which then kind of spread through other genres as well, really helped me get a lot of these songs and kind of move them from things I was vaguely aware of or had heard a couple of times and make them a part of my musical DNA.
So if you want to get the word out and radio and record stores aren't helping, well, what's left? Oh, well, let's see if the audience wants to bring a whole bunch of recording equipment, make their own tapes, and then word of mouth takes over. And this was something that was so brilliant that a lot of the California hippie bands in the 1960s kind of caught on to the idea. And it is probably the single most successful ingredient in what got the Grateful Dead going from playing in little dance halls and theaters in the San Francisco Bay Area to all of a sudden playing in hockey arenas in Boston. It all goes back to the incredible inventiveness and the creativity of bluegrass culture, you know, which is already just the music itself is this huge creative burst that's in response to other things that are going on in country music. So, hell, at that point, you just might as well try to find the single most creative way to get your music out when the record shops and the radio stations can't even bother to, you know, tell you what time of day it is.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, you don't mind people taping your music in concerts.
Not particularly.
Now, why? That seems to be defeating the idea of selling records.
Well, if we ever make a real good record, then probably they'll rush out and buy that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, and besides, the tapes bring back memories to them and all that kind of stuff.
And the shows are never the same ever.
Yeah.
I mean, not even ever, you know what I mean? And so
sometimes
it's,
they're remotely the same.
Yeah, sort of. And when we're done with it, they can have it, you know?
Uh-huh. Albert Brumley is one of the early pioneers in what is now gospel music, modern gospel music, and certainly one of the most prolific composers. The man has over 600 publishing credits. Albert Brumley was born in 1905 to a family of sharecroppers in Oklahoma. He lives until 1977. Albert Brumley spends 5 years as a music student at the Hartford, Arkansas Musical Institute. Brumley has been celebrated and inducted by the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame, the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, and the Oklahoma Music Hall of Fame. And to get to that idea that we talk about here at the Hayride of an unbroken circle, or it's all one song, Albert Brumley's son, Tom Brumley, was an early pioneer in steel guitar. And if you've ever listened to that Buck Owens record, Together Again, that steel guitar is Tom Brumley, the son of gospel music pioneer and composer Albert Brumley. Tom Brumley goes on to have a very prolific career as a steel guitar player. He has worked with Ray Price, with Merle Haggard, with Reba McEntire, and Waylon Jennings. And again, that incredible steel guitar on Buck Owens' Together Again, that's Tom Brumley. His dad, Albert, is the man who gives us I'll Fly Away. Albert Brumley is one of the most prolific and certainly one of the early pioneers in modern gospel music. Church music, gospel music overall, this is one of the elements that's a huge influence on early country music, on blues, and even rock and roll. Within the world of country music, we're very familiar with musicians like Johnny Cash.
When I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home, there was a band of angels a-coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low,
swing low,
sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Willie Nelson.
Can we count our many blessings one by one? I can see you sitting round the table. That's from the family Bible that would read. I can hear my mother softly sing. Rock of ages, rock of ages left for me.
George Jones.
Oh, well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must journey on till the Lord comes to call. Call me away, oh, yes, where the night is as fair as the day.
Oh yes, there will be peace in the valley
troubles I see.
There will be peace in the valley for me.
Wanda Jackson.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
Oh, when he was.
When Jesus was.
My Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
He washed my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
All making huge contributions to recording gospel music and to keeping that tradition and those songs alive. Even as you go deeper into rock and roll music, you hear a heavy Southern gospel influence in the Allman Brothers. And despite the fact that they're mostly Canadians, there's a huge gospel influence in the music of the band.
It's just old Luke and Luke's waiting on a judgment day. Well, Luke, my friend, what about young Annalee? He said, do me a favor, son, won't you stay and keep Annalee company?
Their composition by Robbie Robertson, The Weight, has been covered by many gospel artists and is one of the most recognized pieces of music that has had a very vibrant life in rock and roll and in gospel. Here in Chicago, the tradition of Black church music, of gospel music, has been a big part of the city's musical identity. Musically, going back to the 1920s, 1930s era, Chicago is the birthplace of the National Barn Dance radio program, which helped turn Patsy Montana and Gene Autry into big popular stars. Chicago is also the place where Bill Monroe originally recorded Blue Moon of Kentucky. There was a recording studio in the Wrigley Building downtown. The building is still there. It's gorgeous. It has a wonderful view across the river and Lake Michigan. Chuck Berry recorded Roll Over Beethoven right here on South Michigan Avenue at Chess Records. And of course, we have our tradition with Willie Dixon and Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf. Nat King Cole and Benny Goodman in the jazz era. The Staple Singers. Sam Cooke gets his start here in Chicago as a gospel singer with the Soul Stirrers.
Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
And Sam Cooke, you know, the man's life was cut terribly short in the mid-60s, but as much as you talk about Smokey Robinson, Marvin Gaye, Otis Redding, Sam Cooke is the fourth guy in that particular Mount Rushmore of soul singers, and those four, you know, in terms of the guys, they're the best. I think Aretha Franklin had put all four of them on a cracker for a snack, but yeah, those four men are just, you know, the most gifted singers of their generation. The gospel music scene in Chicago gives rise to the careers of the Staple Singers.
I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day when I saw the birds come rolling, oh, to take my mother away. Will this circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting.
Curtis Mayfield.
People get ready, there's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Thank the Lord.
And Sam Cooke.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Curtis Mayfield is the man who gives us the beautiful and soulful gospel song, People Get Ready. People Get Ready has become a large part of the traditional rock and roll catalog. Get Ready is written right here in Chicago by the great Curtis Mayfield in 1965. Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions. Chris and I often talk about the idea that you know it's a good song by who covers it and how much it gets covered, you know, beyond its original version. With People Get Ready, we have the Everly Brothers.
There's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is some faith to hear the diesel humming. Don't need a ticket. You they just thank the Lord.
We also get an incredibly soulful version from Eva Cassidy.
You know, of course, I knew the song People Get Ready from the Curtis Mayfield version, and I had heard other versions here and there, but I didn't really fall in love with the song until maybe 15, 16 years ago. A friend of mine got me into a performer by the name of Eva Cassidy. And first of all, it's a fascinating story with Eva Cassidy. We're talking about somebody who died at the age of 33 from a skin cancer. So she wasn't alive very long, and she wasn't famous during her lifetime. I mean, she was a working musician, but she wasn't that well known. Her fame posthumously has grown by leaps and bounds. I mean, she's very, very well known in some circles now, not just in her own little tiny local area where she used to play. Most of the songs she does, like People Get Ready Here, are covers. She only has a handful of originals that she's done, but her voice is just incredible. Her voice is an instrument.
Now there ain't no room for the hopeless sinner whose heart on mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances are thinner, 'cause there's no hiding place from the kingdom stone. Oh, people get ready, there's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, you
And then in 1985, and this goes back to the idea of the guitar part in the song that Curtis Mayfield creates, Jeff Beck takes it on. And in 1985, his version of People Get Ready goes all the way up to number 5 on the American rock and roll charts. So, you know, if the song's good, if the message is good, the music's good, that song is going to have legs, and it's just going to go into all types of music all over the place, because, you know, hey, if it's good art, it's good art. It doesn't matter what label you put on it. it's just one of those core songs in modern gospel music. It's a beautiful piece of work. And Curtis is not the only Chicago guitar player in this period in the 60s who was taking elements of blues and soul and creating something incredibly unique and powerful and successful in gospel music. Chicago, the gospel music scene here is also responsible for Roebuck Pop Staples. Born in December of 1914, he lives until December of 2000. He is the patriarch of the musical family known as the Staple Singers. Four kids, along with Pops, they're the Staple Singers. They are a gospel music institution. They are a Chicago musical institution. The only one who is still with us is Mavis Staples. Mavis just celebrated her 85th birthday this year, and she is still performing live. She is still making incredible new records, and she's keeping it going. Man who most music people consider to be the godfather of modern gospel, Thomas Dorsey. Thomas Dorsey spent 50 years here in Chicago as the music director for Pilgrim Baptist Church. He got his start as a piano player for Ma Rainey and doing a lot of vaudeville and jazz and, you know, more Saturday night than Sunday morning type music. Thomas Dorsey lives from 1899 to 1993. He has over 1,000 gospel songwriting publishing credits to his name. Again, he spent 50 years as the music director at the biggest musical Baptist church in the Chicago area. If you have not heard the name of Thomas Dorsey, you will know two of his major contributions to gospel music. He is the man who writes Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And if you don't recognize that one, Thomas Dorsey is the musician, the writer, the, well, musical genius here. He is the man that gives us peace in the valley.
Oh, well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh yes, where the morning's so bright and the lamb is alive and the night is as bright as the day. In the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley.
which is, you know, like I Saw the Light or I'll Fly Away, these other songs we're talking about, one of the most commonly performed and recorded songs in gospel and blues and country. The guy wrote Peace in the Valley. That's a career right there. But Dorsey is one of the first major composers to take those Saturday night music forms, the blues forms, and then just flip them over 12 hours and bring it into Sunday morning.
Jesus said he's coming again. Ain't that new? Jesus said he's coming again. Ain't that new? Oh, ain't that new? Coming back. To claim his own. He gonna take his children home. Then we never much along. Oh, ain't that new? Ain't that new? Oh, ain't that new? On Calvary Hill, Jesus bled and died. Oh, ain't that new?
Well, before I forget to do so, I would like to give a shout out to the lady who recently compared me to Lynn Bramer. I mean, I'm not a Chicagoan myself, but I've lived in the Midwest long enough to know things, and I'm going to take that as a compliment. That was really cool. So thank you. I don't believe you have to be a follower of the religion in order to find the music meaningful. Some of the most powerful musical performances I've ever seen in my life have taken place in the gospel tent at Austin City Limits Music Fest. You would swear you're in church at the Tabernacle on a Sunday. It is bopping. And I'm not that religious of a person, but the music is very moving.
Reach out your hand, if your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again, let it be known, there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men, there is a road. No simple highway between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone.
As a kid, we had a copy of the Willie Nelson album, Pretty Paper. So each year I would listen to Willie singing songs like Silent Night or Here Comes Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, which is definitely my favorite Willie Christmas song, because I think that one's just particularly well suited to his voice. And there's also, you know, a cover of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on that one. So my first gospel exposure is really just listening to Willie Nelson.
By the rivers of Babylon, where he sat down, and there he went, when he remembered Zion. For the wicked carry us away captivity, require from us a song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land?
So let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Christ.
Much like a lot of country music, bluegrass is segmented into spiritual songs and secular songs. And your bluegrass heroes, you know, they do them all equally well.
I was lost in sin so long, with no one to guide my way. My soul was in darkness, had been there for many a day. In that little community churchyard, I heard the gospel song.
I went inside
to kneel and pray.
Oh, I knelt down.
Prayed to my Savior
that he might hear and would accept me.
Then I felt
the Holy Spirit.
I knew my soul
was saving me.
So it's here that I really start getting exposed to songs like I Saw the Light.
Life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night.
Sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like an angel in the night.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like a blind man, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I think as much as I'll Fly Away, I Saw the Light is really that other big song. And boy, what does it have in common with I'll Fly Away? Well, Hank Williams borrows a 1939 composition called He Set Me Free. And here's that name again, by Albert Brumley. So Brumley, the man that gives us I'll Fly Away, creates the original composition that moves Hank to write I Saw the Light. It's written in January of 1947. It does not get released in a Hank Williams version until the fall of 1948.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
The first actual record version that comes out is in October of 1947 by Clyde Grubb. And I Saw the Light has kind of become the unofficial theme song of the Grand Ole Opry. It's done at the end of many, many of their performances. And again, does it meet that test of who's covered it and how incredible are those cover versions? Johnny Cash, Bill Monroe, Earl Scruggs, Merle Haggard. And that's just scratching the surface. You know, what Hank does with I Saw the Light is to really provide another one of those songs that is so essential to country music that country music can't really live without songs like this.
You know, music is the gift that never stops giving. That something else that fans of the podcast should definitely be checking out if they're not overly familiar would be the Leuven Brothers, another really good example of a band that, although secular in nature, the brothers were very deeply and devoutly religious, and a lot of their songs have religious themes.
Well, this the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine. Well, Jesus gave me the light. I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave me the light. I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave me the light. I'm gonna let it shine. Every day, I'll let my little light shine.
So, Sacred Steel, it's a musical style of African American music. They embrace the steel guitar. Now, this includes pedal and lap in place of the organ. In 2006, I was at a music festival called Summer Camp, which is hosted by the jam band Mo. And I believe it was our mutual friend Jim O'Brien who had texted me that the Lee Boys were not to be missed. And I was slightly familiar with the genre, or I guess subgenre, Sacred Steel. And I got to tell you, they did not disappoint. I walked away having purchased a copy of their album, Say Yes, and it is a scorcher. Chicago Sun-Times compared the band to Jimi Hendrix, saying, quote, "The Lee Boys, whose Church of God-inspired Sacred Steel music may be what Jimi Hendrix had in mind with his grand plan for electric sky church music, part Robert Randolph, part Holmes Brothers, the Miami Quintet sang the praises while whipping the crowd into a frenzy with hypnotic grooves."
And that takes us back to kind of where it all begins. Not only the greatest country music song of all time, but probably the greatest modern gospel song of all time, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? And, you know, for some folks, it's Will the Circle. For some others, it's Can the Circle. We finally did enough detective work to kind of figure that out. Published, yeah, you guessed it, right here in Chicago, published in April of 1907. The writers are Ada Habershon and Charles Gabriel. That's the original hymn, the original publishing writing credit and it's listed as Will the Circle Be Unbroken? That publishing credit has since gone into the public domain. Your friend and mine, the genius A.P. Carter, changed it just enough that legally it is considered a separate piece of music. A.P. Carter gets his own copyright for this, and if you look at the writing on his copyrighted version, it is, "Can the Circle Be Unbroken?" So what started with Habertron and Gabriel in 1907 with Will, one of the changes that A.P. Carter makes so that it's legally a separate entity that he can copyright and then draw, you know, the financial royalties from, "Can the Circle Be Unbroken?" That's where the change comes from.
I was standing by the window on one cold and cloudy day, and I saw the hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away.
Undertaker, undertaker, please drive slow, for this lady you are hauling, Lord, I hate to see her go.
There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. Oh no, the circle won't be broken. By and by, Lord, by and by. Daddy'll sing bass,
Mama sing tenor,
me and little brother will join right in.
In the sky, Lord, in the sky.
But there's probably somebody singing it, you know, down the street from where you are right now. This song, it's just going to live forever. And it's such an incredible piece of music that Johnny and June and the other Cashes and Carters through the years. And those folks really, you know, they keep the song going. But so does George Jones and John Lee Hooker and the Staple Singers and Rose Maddox and Loretta Lynn. You know, you put a song that great into the hands of musicians like that, it's an extraordinary thing. I am going to go on the record again and again. It is the single greatest song in country music. A.P. Carter with Maybelle and Sarah. Will the Circle Be Unbroken is the original question. Can the Circle Be Unbroken is question the Carters put to us. And of course, Carl Perkins tells us, nope, not broken. We're all in this together.
So the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
So today's recipe is going to be a nice, hearty breakfast recipe. Get you up on Sunday morning. Get a good breakfast in you. This recipe originally comes from Maybelle Carter's brother, who is affectionately known around the family as Uncle Tube. And Uncle Tube and his wife, Babe, were famous for their family recipe of grits with cheese. Chris, you are a fan of a good hearty breakfast.
Okay, for this one, folks, you're going to need vegetable oil for greasing the pan, 2 cups of water, 1 tablespoon of butter, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, 2.5 cups of quick 5-minute grits, 2 cups of shredded mild cheddar cheese, 4 large eggs, 3 cups of whole milk, 1 minced clove of garlic, 1/4 teaspoon of paprika, and 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper or to taste. You'll preheat the oven to 325 degrees. Grease a 9x13-inch baking sheet with vegetable oil. Now place the water and butter in a large saucepan. Place the water and butter in a large saucepan and bring to boil over a high heat. Add the salt and black pepper and slowly whisk in the grits. Continue to whisk while the grits boil until there are no lumps for 1 to 2 minutes. Reduce the heat to medium-low and simmer the grits for 5 minutes. Remove the pot from the heat. Add the cheese to the grits and stir well. Crack the eggs into a large bowl and beat them well with a fork. Add the milk, garlic, paprika, and cayenne pepper. Stir to combine. Slowly pour the milk mixture into the grits and mix well. Spoon the mixture into the baking dish. Bake uncovered for 50 to 60 minutes until the mixture is set. Remove the pan from the oven and allow the grits to stand 5 minutes before serving. This will make 6 to 8 servings.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey,
always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
For some people, small, beautiful events is what life is all about.
Hello, country.
I'd like to remind you to email us at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com. Six is spelled out. You can also search us on Facebook as Six String Hayride. Or what we'd really appreciate you doing is finding us on Patreon under Six String Hayride as well.
Well, folks, thanks again for joining your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley, on the Six String Hayride Classic Country Podcast. We are here for all of your classic country, rockabilly, early rock and roll, little gospel, little blues, a lot of excellent country music-themed recipes, and basically, we are here to keep your musical circle rockin', boppin', and very much unbroken. So thank you for sticking with us. We will see you down the road real soon. And again, whether it's in your home, in your community, wherever it is you do your thing, keep your circle unbroken. Stay well, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
Oh, can the circle be unbroken by and by?
Song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. No, the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.